Welcome to the second hour of We the People Radio. Today we are talking about the transgender issue. And you know, the thing is, you always have those people out there that are like, they're just haters. All right, well, you know, if you think mocking is hating, then I guess maybe we're haters. But at the end of the day, if you take a sensitive topic and you kind of make it fun a little bit, because, you know, that's our space, is make it fun, it might allow you to talk to somebody about that and open the door for conversation, because this is one of those things that should be coming up a lot. We should be speaking about it a lot, but I think people don't know how to broach the subject. It seems, seems like a third rail issue. Let's make it not quite so third rail, and then we can maybe all join together, look each other in the eye, and go, okay, this is crazy. We have to fix it.
Yeah.
So back to our sponsor, who is trapped in the you will quiz your employees on this like every other employer in the country.
Yeah.
And spending tons of money about it that they don't want to spend.
Necessary evil.
There you go.
Our sponsor this hour is Pape Machinery, and they are our local John Deere Ag and Turf dealer. They sell tractors, mowers, handheld equipment. They have it all up there. They got a showroom full of products. They just got in some new stuff for Christmas. So if you have a little one that wants to get decked out in some John Deere toys, they have electric riders, they have pedal machines, they have bicycles, they got it all in stock. Go up and see them. They're located at 3119 Twinview Boulevard in the city of Shasta Lake, and they can fix up your ag tractor, your compact tractor. They work on everything up there. Or give them a call. Their phone number is 530-226-9226, and they'd love to hear from you. So,
yeah, Costco's got Christmas trees up.
Yeah.
Why not go get your...
That's right.
Get your John Deere stuff to go under it.
Get your swag.
Christmas now starts in June.
I know.
Remember when we used to put stuff out, and Christmas stuff in before Thanksgiving, and it was like, oh, how gauche.
Blasphemer.
Who does that?
Yeah.
And now it's June.
Now it's not even Halloween
yet.
Yeah,
you're wearing shorts shopping for Christmas. And you don't live in Hawaii.
Yeah.
Okay,
or you can get them on the web at papemachinery.com.
Oh,
so
yeah.
There you go.
Yes. All right.
So we're talking about the craziness of the whole transgender issue and how
and honestly the real world consequences of this with you know, if you're a woman and you commit a crime and you go into a women's prison, you may just get a roommate.
Yeah.
Who's a man?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Sharon, go back for me to this this idea that a judge refused to even a man being housed with women in a women's prison might
it's just not an issue.
Might attack women in the prison.
They identify as a woman, so they're a woman. What's the problem there?
Yeah,
that's what the theory requires you to do, right? The theory requires you, transgender ideology requires you to say that men who say that they are women are women. I mean, you've probably seen video of Justin Trudeau screaming it from Canada, right? Trans women are women, trans women are women. So if you it requires you to put aside the very first part of that sentence, which is trans women, that if they really were women, you would not need to say the word trans women. the very first qualifier
right, for
being a trans woman is you had to start
great
out as a
man.
Right? You had to. But this ideology requires you to put that aside and say, no, these men who think that they're women because they're trans women, now trans women are women, and you have to go along with that. So, yes, some people have brainwashed themselves into believing that humans can literally change sex, even though this is impossible. And it is very hard for those of us who do not believe that they can change sex, or that a man who puts on a dress is now a woman because he said so. That's the second part of the transgender ideology that's really problematic. I think many of us could have handled a man who went through all the surgeries and went through all the hormones and lived as a woman. I think we could have handled that. It could have been like, because there's 1 in 8 gajillion of them, right? So we were like, okay, you know, you poor thing. And this relied on women to be sympathetic, by the way. Women, by nature, do tend to be collaborating and do tend to be, you know, empathetic with others. And this ideology depended on us being empathetic, and it depended on us absolutely accommodating, right? Absolutely. so where it flipped was it went away from being transsexual. And what transgender ideology brought in was, oh, they don't even have to have hormones or they don't even have to have surgery. All they have to do is say that their gender is a woman, that they feel like a woman.
Right.
That they're, today they do. And so that part of the theory is called self-ID, that it is because you said so, that therefore you are. And, you know, I would like to self-identify as the president right now and also as a billionaire. You know, like...
Bill thought he was a cowboy when he was a little kid. How's that working out right? for you, Bill?
Yep.
You know, and so, and all of us have dealt with children. You know, my mom said that at one point, you know, when my brother and I were little, that I put him in girls' clothes and made him do plays with me, you know, that I was the theater director. You know, I was like 5, he was 4. And she went to my dad and said, you know, is this bad? He said, oh, give up, right? They're playing. Kids play. You know, they don't, it doesn't mean anything. But these days, if, you know, my little brother was, you know, wearing women's clothes, they'd be rushing him off to the doctor to put him on opposite sex hormones.
Right.
So this theory went from just, you know, we ought to treat them with decency and respect, which I think everybody was down for. Nobody, I don't think anybody had a problem with that. And into, you now have to believe this. And you now have to believe that because they said they're a woman inside, they are. And again, it's very disturbing for a number of reasons. One is it all seems to focus around women. So that right there tells you something's off, right? That women have to give up space. Women have to accommodate. Women have to give up their rights. You're not seeing this being forced on the men. Now, there are a ton of girls. There's an absolute contagion at the moment of girls slicing their breasts off and calling themselves they. And when you look at them, you realize they're not actually going off to go live as a man. They're not trying to use the men's bathroom. They're not trying to, you know, get in the boxing ring with men. They're not trying to go serve in the men's prison, right? That's not what's happening here. What they're trying to do is also get out of womanhood, because womanhood looks like a really crappy deal. And I can see why. My daughter had a friend at UCSB, and the friend had a creeper dad when she was young who took very compromising pictures of her in things that dads should not be taking pictures of their daughters in. And then she went off to UCSB, and she was assaulted and raped. And she took her case to UCSB and said, you know, you need to do something about this. You know, I've been assaulted. And they kept putting off doing anything about it until she graduated. And then they said, well, you know, now you're gone, so it's not our problem anymore. So this girl got no justice at all. And, you know, not surprisingly, in her mid-20s, she sliced off her breast and became a they. And at first, my daughter was really supportive of it, and then started seeing, like, something's not right with this, you know, like, but something's not okay with this, you know, with this girl. And my mom and I knew right away what the girl was up to. We knew right away what she was up to, that she is trying to get out of ever being assaulted again because of being
a
woman.
Sad. Yeah.
It's awful. It's awful. And so we're seeing that a lot with the young girls, that they're all slipping into trans. And the other thing that my daughter pointed out was, a lot of what's being taught to them in school now is that you're a white colonizer, you know, terrible person. And so what you want to do is identify out of that and into some marginalized group as quickly as possible so that you can get out of being this awful white colonizer, you know, person, right? So that's part of it, too. And I had not really seen that so much in the school system, but my daughter was like, oh, yeah, no, there's that going on. You try to get out of, you know, being whatever this bad identity is and get into a marginalized identity so that you will be vaulted and special and called stunning and brave.
Right.
And I don't think it's a stunning and brave to cut your breasts off.
No,
I think,
it isn't.
I mean,
yeah.
That is.
Do you know what the percentage of women that go through that transition and then later in life realize, you know, this was crazy. Why did I do this? I want to go back to being a woman.
Remember what we said earlier about how the older Gen Z, so the oldest of the Gen Zs are 27 this year, right?
Mm-hmm.
So we've been meeting a bunch of Gen Z women who trans, and they're called detransitioners, which I think is like the most dehumanizing term ever. But they kind of fell into this ideology, took testosterone, ruined their voices. Their voices will always be bad now. You know, like they can never get their girl voice back. Cut off their breasts. And then later, yes, realize, oh, my God, I was horribly misled. I was just this person going through young adulthood or puberty that had as bad of a time as everybody else has. You know, like,
sure.
It's been a minute since we went through puberty, but I do remember waking up every day and going, what is my body doing now? Right? You know, like, it's doing these things that I don't know what they are or how they work or, you know, oh, my God. Like, I remember that experience, and I'm sure all of us went through something like that. But to then have someone tell you now, oh, we could stop your puberty. We could stop it and give you time to sort it out before your body actually starts changing. And then we'll put you on cross-sex hormones so you'll develop as the other sex. In what world is this considered wonderful, humane treatment for children? Mm-hmm. I don't get this at all. To me, this is butchery. And, yeah, we've met quite a few. It seems to be more women that are coming out of it. We've also met young men who briefly flirted with being trans. In fact, there's this awful documentary, awful. I will spare you watching it. It's just so awful. Of this boy who was raped repeatedly by his father as a three-year-old. And he went through a period of thinking he was trans. But it was really all to do with the abuse that he suffered as a kid. And that he was just completely destroyed and confused. And took a lot of therapy to get him out the other side. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I think we are not, you know, and the group that hates trans most is parents whose kids have, you know, come home and said, I think I'm the opposite sex. You know, and they're like, where in the hell did you get this idea, right? You know, and they're very upset by it.
But then, depending on where you live, if as a parent you say, you know, kind of like, you can't be Superman, so please don't jump off the house. Like, here's your cape, and it's just for fun. If you don't just fully embrace this, and God forbid you are co-parenting either in the house or through a divorce situation with somebody who is deep into the ideology, you can lose custody of your kids.
Yes. Governor Newsom barely vetoed a bill last year that would have done this in California. He barely vetoed it. But it is already law in Washington. There are parents who have lost their kids in Oregon. You know, there was a guy that sued to get his child back because the mom was determined to transit, and I can't believe he won his case. I can't believe he won it, but he did. This is a whole
It's kind
new
of a
level.
Weird collective it's, insanity that you're required to join or else.
Yeah.
Are we getting better on the or else? Or, I mean, okay, one of the groups I always love to hate because they create such havoc in the marijuana industry and with the cartels and all that stuff is the ACLU. I don't follow them religiously, but I tell you what, everything I deal with where the ACLU is a player, they're on the wrong team.
You know, it's interesting that you say that. There are organizations that one would have thought would have stood up here.
Yeah.
And the ACLU would have been one of them. Yeah, no, they've totally gone to the dark side. And I will tell you, National Organization for Women, the group that pushed for the Equal Rights Amendment, right? That group has gone to the dark side. They're using terms like chest feeding people who menstruate instead of the word woman, right? I mean, like, you know, I don't
we're
know.
We're going to need longer spaces on our forms for that.
Right? I mean, they are, you know, they have gone to the dark side. My group joined up with some, this will make you laugh, Aaron, actually this is a good story. UN Women, remember I'm a delegate to the Conference on the Status of Women, and when we talk in New York, when 10,000 women show up in New York for the Conference on the Status of Women at the United Nations, we are talking about things like female genital mutilation, child marriage, land for women to farm so that they can feed their family. Like, we are talking about some serious
stuff,
right?
Like, things that are real and major, major issues around the world.
Yeah, women in conflict situations who are being raped. I mean, we talk about very serious stuff. This trans thing is not a thing at the UN, but UN Women was founded in 2010, United Nations Organization for the Empowerment of Women. And their mission in 2010 was, you know, strive for the empowerment of women and girls and true equality. That's their job. So in June, they put up something on their social media basically saying that people like you and me, even having this conversation, we are anti-rights. Because, yep, we are anti-right, we are far-right, because we are do not believe in the LGBTQI plus whatever, you know, stuff. We just don't believe in it. And many of us might have no problem with gay marriage, have no problem with people who are homosexual at all, no problem at all.
Well, that's the thing. I don't think really most people, it's like if you want to, you know, if you want to be, you know, Mrs. Doubtfire, the weird one, not the fun one. Go ahead. But doing that with kids and forcing our workplaces to have to deal with it and all that, it's like, hard
no,
pass.
It's too far. So what we did was we met up with a group from Brazil called Matria, and we said, we gotta fire back on UN Women. They have lost the plot. Calling women bigots because they do not believe men can become women is not empowering women to get true equality here. Like, you've lost your way. So we joined up. We got women's rights groups from all over the world to sign on to a letter telling UN women you have lost your way. And every time you sign this letter as an individual, it kicks off a slew of emails to UN staffers that are involved in this. So they're getting a hell of a lot of emails because we've got about 4,300 signatures on this thing so far. And it also, we asked our supporters, please contact our ambassador to the United Nations, who is Linda Thomas Greenfield. And let me tell you, she has a really good human rights record. She's done some stunning work in, you know, Africa and other places. But she called the UN Security Council meeting, the most important body in the UN, the one that deals with ceasefires, right, in conflict situations. She called a Security Council meeting in March of last year and said, we're going to take into account LGBTQI concerns in everything we do here. And China and Russia and Ghana and several other countries laughed at her and said, no, we're not doing that.
This is hard pass.
This is completely inappropriate. So we've asked our supporters, and a bunch of them have done it, please contact Ambassador Greenfield and let her know that we are not down with you pushing this. Why are you pushing this on the UN? The United States is the biggest funder of the UN, 22%. Behind us is China at 15%, right? So we are the big dog. Everybody at the UN in New York will tell you this. We are the big dog at the UN. Whatever the U.S. wants to do, that's kind of the way things go. And so for us to be pushing this at the UN is terrible. It is just ridiculous. I mean, we want to put some pressure on Ambassador Thomas to say, stop doing this.
And ludicrous.
Yeah, you are on the wrong track here. Do not do this. So a lot of our supporters have contacted her, and I hope it kind of comes out like the Netburn thing, right, where it's like, once the public lets you know that you are off the rails here, you know, get back on track. In California, you know, our government is very crazy about this, as you know. We have a
lot of states that have gone. We do have to take a really quick break. Let's do that and then come back with how pervasive it is, because honestly, people think, oh, it's only happening in California. Hot tip, it's not actually. We'll be right back. Our guest is Sharon Byrne. She's the executive director for WOLF, the Women's Liberation Front. And you are listening to We the People. You can find us at wethepeopleradio.us.
Like a woman.
Hey! No, we all have a face that we hide away forever, and we take them out and show ourselves when everyone has gone. Some are satin, some are steel, some are silk, and some are leather. They're the faces of the stranger, but we love to try them on.
Ah, yes, we do love to try them on. Therein lies the discussion point. So what's the deal with all these organizations and states and stuff? How prevalent is this?
It's gone hyper-partisan, right? So, you know, for example, Texas, I'm actually going to help Ken Paxton, the attorney general there, who's not a guy I really agree with on a lot of things, right? He wants to, you know, he's caused women in that state a lot of problems. But, you know, he's going up in court on some stuff that we're working with. He's suing the Biden administration to stop the Title IX from being implemented and the EEOC rewrite, right? So to stop the feds from implementing the rule changes that would force everything to, you know, accommodate the craziness of transgender ideology. So many of the red states have done that. They have pushed back really, really hard. And many of the blue states have doubled down, which is crazy. The other thing that's really insidious about this is that there are companies like BlackRock, have you heard of them?
Mm-hmm.
Vanguard?
Yep.
Okay, huge, huge, huge investment firms, right? And they buy up shares in corporations where they can take a fairly large stake, like 4%, 5%, 6%, 7% of the corporate shares, right? And then that gives them all kinds of power to dictate to the board of directors that you will hit your DEI scores. your diversity, equity, and inclusion scores. And that means that you will accommodate. You know how we were talking a little earlier about how employers are required to do all this training and all? Oh, yeah, and they get scored now by these big investment firms who are holding huge leverage over them, and they have to meet these, you know, transgender-friendly workplace scores. So, you know, the bathrooms have to be mixed gender. And so many of the big corporations, they're going to have enormous HR departments that are going to handle this, right, and all kinds of consultants. And, you know, they're going to find eight ways to Christmas to make this happen. And then they have to bring on consultants who tell them how you make accommodations for transgender ideology. And so some of this pressure is coming from the United States government, obviously. The Biden administration is very captured by it. But some of it's also coming from giant investment firms, right, that are doing this. And a few companies lately have walked away from this. So Coors, at a Coors company, right, they've walked away from it. And Tractor Supply is another one that walked away from it and said, no, we're not doing this. And who is it that's running this sort of DEI push? Well, that would be the Human Rights Campaign, who is absolutely the anti-rights campaign, right? This is a, this supposedly was an organization to get marriage equality for gay and lesbian people. And instead, what they've done is drop that mission on the floor and push really hard to force corporations to get good scores, to being very friendly to LGBTQI and paying for the surgeries and stuff like that. So, yeah, there's been, this has been quite the well-coordinated. I mean, we have to take a note here, right? Like, this is very well-strategized, highly funded, and very pervasive. But some of the red states are not having it. They've banned transgender surgery. We are aware of a rep in Texas out of Houston, Sean Theory, who was a Democrat, and she stood with the Republicans in the legislature and said, no, I think we need to ban these surgeries on kids. This is just, this is inhumane. We shouldn't be doing this. And for that, the Democrats made sure she lost her seat in the primary this year. Right? Yeah. So, I mean, when I tell you it's hyper-partisan, I'm not kidding. Right? I mean, they, this is brutal tactics. You either go along with this or you lose your seat or you lose your, you know, your stock. You know, I mean, it's very brutal the way these tactics are being played. And you're right, the ACLU is really big in this. Very big player in this. And it's shocking. Even Amnesty International.
How does that square with, you know, with rights? I mean, the concept of rights.
I think what we have, what feminists are angry about, and I think you can understand this, but actually lesbians and gays have it, are pretty angry about it too, is that with, how does it square with rights? We have to give up ours. That's the message.
Yeah, that's exactly
that
it.
That is the message, is we have to give up ours, which again tells you something's really wrong here, really wrong. And again, this is behaving like no other human rights kind of campaign we've ever seen. That, in other words, when women got the right to vote, did that stop men from voting? No.
You know, well, men, yeah, right. When do we trade? When did we start trading?
Yes, that's what's different about this, right? When blacks protested and agitated and got civil rights in this country in the 60s and could buy houses and could get jobs, did that stop anybody else from buying a house or getting a job? No. You could still do all those things.
And just
right?
enhanced no everybody's access to everything.
Exactly. So this is the only human rights movement we've ever seen that demands that you give up a lot of rights in order to accommodate it. Yeah. Right to have custody of your child. You know, right to have your own bathroom as a woman. Right to call yourself a woman. You know, like, it is demanding that we do that, which tells you something's really wrong with this, because we just don't do human rights like this. This is not how it's done. So it's very different in that regard. And yes, women were being told, you will get, you sit down, shut up, and you will be fine with having that man in your prison cell. You will be fine with having that man in your bathroom. You will be, and women have long developed instincts as to how to stay alive from violence from men, right? So you're telling women to ignore those, you know, and let that guy in. You're telling eight-year-olds, it's fine for that adult man to be on your swim team and change in the locker room with you. That is happening in Canada, believe it or not.
Really?
You know, so you're teaching young girls and women to ignore their self-survival instincts, right, and accommodate someone who wants to be in there with them, that you don't know whether that person's going to harm you or not. Now, I'm not saying all trans people are violent. That would be very far a stretch. But when you're asking women to accommodate a fully intact male in their spaces and to ignore their safety instincts, you know, that is devolutionary. Like, that is wrong. Now, lesbians and gays also In fact, lesbians were the first ones to find out how bad this was, because suddenly there were all these men in dresses in their bars and in their dating apps telling them that they were transbians and that they had to date them. You know, by definition, lesbians don't go out with men.
Right, by definition.
They're only attracted to women. But they were being told that they were bigots for not sleeping with men in dresses, and that they were horrible people for not wanting to date a man in a dress.
Well, you know, it's just crazy because, I mean, there was a reason, you know, they have men's rooms and women's rooms. I mean, there was a reason they set it up that way. And, you know, 30, 40 years ago, that was never questioned. That was always just the way it is. And nobody ever heard of a man going into a women's room and making that okay. And the long game has really been effective because now you have it both ways. You have bathrooms that are men and women going to the same bathroom. In fact, I just saw one last weekend. It's dangerous, and it's always been separated for that. For that reason, you keep them separate, and that protects everybody. And now you've taken that protection away from women by allowing men to say, "Hey, I feel like a woman. I'm going to go in the women's room." Oh, you can't stop them.
No,
that's crazy. It
is crazy.
Sense.
And so, okay, so you spend a lot more time in this space than we do, Sharon. So is the argument, well, hey, equal rights, women voting. All of that sort of thing was considered crazy too. So this is just an idea whose time has come.
That's an interesting question that you're asking. That's a very interesting question that you're asking. And again, I can accept that there might be people that really do feel like they are meant to be the opposite sex. You know, I remember when Madonna was breaking onto the scene and people were just accusing her of having a penis because she was just so brazen, you know, so crazy. Yeah. So sexual, people were like, women just don't act like this, you know, and she was interrupting the male gaze, right? You know, she was looking directly at you, and people were like, this is very masculine behavior, you know, she have a penis? She's like, sure I do, in my brain, you know, like, that was how she was made, right?
So, you heard it here first.
Right, but I mean, when we were kids, you know, a lot of us played at Androgyne, because it was kind of popular. Bowie was, you know, hot, but everybody was under no illusion that Bowie was anything but a man.
Right.
He ripped high heels and lipstick.
He was
and
a weird
that.
Man, and our dads would have freaked out if we brought him home. But you know, other than that,
oh yeah, but he was a very randy man, as my mom would say in British parlance, meaning he liked to sleep around with a lot of women. You know, so like there was.
Thank
no
God my parents didn't know anything about what was going on behind the music that we listened to. They didn't even like that. If they knew who was singing it, they would have freaked out.
Oh, and remember how all the big hair bands, you know, like Kiss and all them, the big hair hard rock bands, you know, they wore makeup and they had long hair and all. Again, none of us were under any illusion, you know.
My dad wouldn't let me get my ears pierced because he said only gypsies had pierced ears. That was the problem in our house. And I finally asked him about the third time I asked, you know, over a couple of years. And I was like 14 or something. I mean, it wasn't like I was 6. And I'm like, how many gypsies do you know, Dad? Wheels came off. I got my ears pierced.
That's so funny.
Should have gone to law school.
I went to a lot of gay bars when I was young, and you know, I went to drag shows.
Get
and
out.
All of that. I saw all that, and not. But
look
again, those men knew they knew they were men, honey. They knew, and they knew it was entertainment, and it was. It almost is like ancient Greek theater, right? Where, you know, the Greeks never let a woman on stage. All the women in any Greek play were always played by men.
Oh, that's true.
To be women. You know, so like same with Shakespeare, right? So like, it's been like this, you know, for a very long time. So I can accept that there might be individuals out there, and I have accepted the idea of a transsexual. That person still isn't going to be a woman at the end of all those surgeries, but they're going to live out their life as a reasonable facsimile of one. And I don't think any of us want to pound on a person like that. I don't think so. I think that, you know, whatever that person is going through, it's unique to them and it's their journey, and I respect it. What I can't accept and won't accept is the self-ID part of this, where I just say so, and you have to accept it. Well, I just said I'm the President of the United States. You know, that's the way this logic works. And no, that isn't how things work. And we
no, you could say it. You can say it all you want, but I don't think you can expect everybody else to play along with that.
Yeah.
And that is the part that we are all objecting to. Not only are we being told that we must play along with it, we are being legislated that we must play along with
it.
That is a loss of human rights. And it
absolutely is, because you can't. Yeah, you're not allowed to assert basic things.
Yes, and the fact that, you know, we would push it through the school system, the fact that we would push it into law, it's a vast. You know, I think if we walked around on our streets today and asked the average person were they aware of any of this, many people would not be, and that right there is very dangerous. This is what is so dangerous about this: you find out after it happens. Right, you're not
well after after it's inked in, right?
Exactly.
They float this out there, and while there's time to sort of push back on it, everybody kind of fobs it off as, well, that's just a you know, it's kind of craziness.
Yeah,
we're going through a phase. No one's really going to do that.
People interested in that to make a difference.
But I mean, this is even hitting in the Midwest and stuff. It isn't just a California thing.
No, it's totally not. And I want you to know, I went to the trial date setting for Tremaine Carroll, the rapist, in the women's prisons, right? His trial date setting was Friday. And in that trial date setting, the judge, a female judge, mandated that the district attorney must refer to Tremaine Carroll as a she, and that the women that will be coming in to testify that he raped them also must refer to him as a she.
Yes.
Can you imagine?
Yeah.
Sounds
what
like
that
the judge needs
do?
A psychiatrist.
That is, and that has been happening in the UK, that has been happening in Australia, that has been happening in Canada, because they don't have the First Amendment. They don't have free speech rights, right? But in this courtroom where this man, this 6-foot-tall man, is going to be tried for raping two women, and the DA pushed back and said, this is so ridiculous, and this is so unfair to these women, you know, that they now have to refer to their rapist as a woman with a penis. Like, who does this, right?
Yeah.
It is happening
right
in our court system. This is in our court system. And that is exactly the way Nett Burns, when she was being questioned by Cruz, that's exactly what she did. She said that the male rapist that she was transferring into the prison, the federal women's prison, she said, well, fundamentally, you know, this was a woman. What?
Yeah, I mean, fundamentally, no.
I mean, it is literally the confusion of the species, right?
Yeah.
We are deliberately being told that if a man says he's a woman, that we must accept that he is a woman, and that we must not question that he has a penis, and that we must not demand that he alter himself to look like a woman. Many of the inmates in the Chowchilla facility have called us and told us at Wolf that the men transferring in are not even bothering to present as female. They're not putting on any makeup. They're not, you know, growing out their hair. They're not even bothering, because all they have to do is self-ID. That's all they have to do.
Yeah.
So that part, when that gets legislated into law, you know, and it has been legislated into law, this is what we have been fighting against and saying, absolutely not. Go ahead. Live your best life. You want to walk around in a dress and call yourself a woman, you go ahead and do that. But you are not going to mandate that I support that.
That I join the delusion. When we come back, I want you to talk about the spicy straights, because that should not go unheralded. Did that in the previous show, and that's been, again, I still have people come up to me and go, that made a lot of sense. So you're going to get some insight on the spicy straights when we return. And I don't know, I've got a couple of my favorite songs coming on.
Never thought to wonder why. If I could pull this off, would I know for certain the real situation behind the curtain? So beautiful. Damsel.
Let's go, girls. Good time.
one of the things that we have seen people do, you know, again, you know, it's almost like a fashion trend, right? Which is like, I'm trans. I feel like I'm trans today. I think I'm going to be the opposite gender. So my daughter was telling me about this woman that's a kind of a couple that she knew, and they both decided they were trans, and that they, you know, and this is happening a lot, you know, where couples play at this game of, oh, I'm trans. So the woman comes into the store one day, and she's wearing a bikini top and cut-off shorts and has a mustache painted on her face. And she's, you know, sort of kvetching to my daughter, no one's getting my gender. Like, I just don't understand it. I'm getting misgendered everywhere. My daughter's like, you're not trans. You're not gay. You're not any. You're just a spicy straight.
Spicy straight.
You're trying to spice up your straightness, right? Because they're apparently being heterosexual is just so boring. So one of the things we had noticed as we were talking earlier, you know, that the lesbians and the gays really started having problems with this trans, you know, population is because if you're lesbian, gay, or bisexual, you know, you have a sexual orientation that is not heterosexual. You are attracted to the same sex, or you're attracted to both sexes. So it's a sexual orientation, and no medicalization required, right? No dress-up, no costumery, no surgeries required. It's just how you are. And many people find out what their sexuality is at an extremely early age. You know, like, I watched my daughter batter eyelashes at a neighbor, and she was, like, 18 months old. And I was like, oh, she's straight as a damn arrow, that one, you know, because I could see that she was having a very different reaction to him than she did to women, right? Very different reaction. So I knew right away. So when it first started, you know, they started adding all these initials up under the lesbian, gay, bisexual, you know, umbrella, a bunch of us were like, okay, something's going on over there. You know, it seems like they're having a few other sexual orientations added, a few initials, not even sure what all these mean, but okay. But I'm not lesbian or gay or bisexual, so it doesn't affect me. So a bunch of us didn't really pay attention. And then the next group it hit was women, right? Which is like, move over, there's men coming in, and you've got to make room for them, and you got to call them ma'am. You know, like, that's when we all found out, right? But like I said, the lesbians and the gays have been dealing with this for a while, and some of the lesbians and the gays were the first ones to point out, these people aren't, they don't have a different sexual orientation. They're straight. They're absolutely straight. Why are they over here with us? You know, this makes no sense. And very often when a man decides he's going to play at being a woman, but he still wants to have sex with women, what he'll do is call himself a transbian, right? He's a trans lesbian, which the lesbians don't buy.
Transbian.
He's got a penis.
I got to get that on their gender of the week.
Yeah, they're not buying it. And by the way, the gay men had the same reaction. They were like, why are these women coming to the gay bars and picking up on us? These women like men. They're straight women. Why are they coming in the gay bars and pretending that they're now gay men, that they're, you know, that they're men? And so both of those groups started noticing this early on and said, these are just straight people. They don't belong over here under this umbrella with us. But by then it was too late. They'd been overtaken. And the other thing that pissed a lot of people off was the introduction of the word queer. And, you know, my parents are British, and my mom will tell you queer was definitely a slur. And most Americans took it as a slur as well.
But what did queer mean when she, what does it mean on the British side?
That you're a homosexual man and a deviant. Right? So, I mean, sort of old terminology from, you know, 40s, 50s, and 60s, but it was thought the same way in America, that if you said you were queer, this was absolutely a slur. If somebody called you a queer, it was absolutely a slur.
Well, don't you remember when we were kids? It was a game where you threw... Okay, I guess it was Smear the Queer, remember?
It was.
And it was kind of so like now, dodgeball, but it was slightly more aggressive, and it didn't have anything to do with anybody's sexual anything. It was just, this is a game.
Yeah. I'm a monster.
I grew up with monsters.
So now for these kids to come out and say, I'm queer, you know, I feel like it. We're here. We're queer. We're not going anywhere. You know, a lot of the older gays are like, oh, my God, that was a slur. Please do not use that. Please do not pull that out.
Okay.
You know.
And what does it even mean? What in real life, what's it mean? I realize it's no longer a children's game. It would no longer be appropriate. Bill looks at me like I'm making it up, but you played it too. It was a game when you were a kid, wasn't it?
No, you were a monster.
I knew I was going to get thrown under the bus. Why did I just walked right into it. What am I, an only child? What the hell? Well, what does it mean now?
What does queer mean now?
Yeah, kind of confusing.
Well,
it's another way to opt out of that, you know, straight white colonizer narrative, right?
But you're not lesbian, you're not gay, and you're not one of the myriad of flags that I've alluded to earlier?
Oh, you're non-binary, meaning that you don't identify as either a male or a female. You know, that you're gender fluid.
So it's not a one thing. It's a sort of a basket.
Yeah, and it looks very much like a fashion accessory to me, right? Like,
okay.
It's like, okay, you just put that on and put that label on yourself, and you know, now you're special. You know, you're extra special. You're unique, just like everyone else. You know,
sure.
So this it's very, that part of is the queering of everything. And what they've done now is gone, you know, through history books and all kinds of things to say that, you know, Cleopatra was trans, or that, you know, Caesar was queer, or that, you know, all kinds of just kooky, you know, kind. Again, let's say everybody on the planet's dead, you know, and some alien species shows up here, and they find skeletons, right?
They'd be like,
and they look
wait,
at the skeletons.
What? Huh? Yeah, and they'd be like, what?
Yep, and let me tell you, if they dig up a trans woman, it's going to be a man, right? Like, that's how that is. It's a man. So, I mean, you can, again, you can say whatever you want. You can put on any costume that you want, don any label that you want, but, you know, infringing on the rights of the rest of us.
Yeah.
And forcing us to affirm your delusion.
Well, and being allowed to victimize people, because this isn't just words hurt, right? This is, people are being assaulted. Their lives are being altered because we are required to, not speak out about what's reality.
Yes, and again, we do have free speech in this country, which means we can criticize our government, right? And not be hanged for it. But, you know, many women who do speak up about this are being deplatformed. They are kicked off of certain platforms. They are losing their jobs because they refuse to say that a man is a woman. They have been kicked out of their sport. I think you probably saw the news story from the World Darts Federation that any woman who refuses to compete in a woman's darts competition because she's angry that there's a male in that competition with her will be punished.
Oh.
She will be disciplined. Did you see that?
No.
Oh, yeah. Yep. And, you know, this kind of thing, you know, this is enforcement of
that's going down a whole different road right there. But, you know, I think it all kind of started when, you know, you had guys dressing up as women, and people were like, hey, you know, if you want to do that, that's fine. Just don't, you know, don't push it on me, and that's fine. Do your thing. And I think there was an acceptance there that maybe people didn't realize where this whole thing was going, and maybe these people didn't even know where it was going at the time. But I think early on, it was do your thing, just don't push it on me. Well, now it's gone to I'm going to do my thing, and you're going to go along
and
with it.
And you're going to like it.
And you're going to, yeah, you have to go along with it. Or, like you just said, there'll be consequences. And that's a whole different deal.
It is a very different deal.
Well, where do you think it goes from here?
I don't know. I mean, you asked me earlier, is it getting better? Is it getting worse? Is it, you know, I can foresee a future where, you know, we come to our senses, that the Supreme Court issues a ruling, for example, right? That undoes all this. I can see a future where that could happen. I can also see a future where the Supreme Court affirms it, you know, and we're stuck. You know, and actually the Supreme Court has done that in an employment case, right? That, you know, the Supreme Court issued a ruling in Bostock case, for example, where they said you can't, you know, they went further than Bostock required and said basically that, you know, if the person is transgender, you have to accept it. And you can't, you know, push back on it. So I can see two different futures where we double down and get worse. Like, and that is happening in Australia. I mean, there are women being dragged before commissions in Australia for refusing to affirm that a man
really?
Is a woman. Oh, yeah. I mean, I could see it going that same in Canada. I could see that happening. You know, the U.S., again, is a little different because you do have this First Amendment right to criticize your government.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, if your government is, you know, and I think the Supreme Court would not want to do anything that starts to compel speech or thought, right? Like that,
right.
This court in particular, I think, would not want to do that. But there are some cases going up. We're going to be putting an amicus brief in on one of them where, you know, basically it is Tennessee's surgery ban for minors. That's going before the Supreme Court. And guess what? Yeah, the ACLU is putting in a brief, right, saying that, you know, this is wrong and that the kids need to be trans. We're going the other direction, you know. And so I don't know how it's all going to turn out. It is a whack, crazy world. In England, some women are being arrested for putting up the wrong things on Facebook about this.
No kidding.
So it's crazy. I don't know how it's all going to turn out.
Wow. Well, with your organization, are you guys getting, you know, are you getting a lot of calls to come and weigh in on all this? I mean, who helps you and who helps you?
So it's interesting that you ask that. Most of the, as you know, most of the supporters at Wolf tend to be progressive refugees who are shocked that the Democrats not only are not going to help women, that they actually hate us. You know, they're just shocked. They're like, what? You know, I've been told to vote this way my whole life, right? So we have some conservative supporters, too, which we really appreciate. We're a nonpartisan group. So, you know, you take your allies where you can find them when you're doing nonpartisan work, right? You just got to, any and all allies, you got to take them.
Yeah.
But, you know, we do get some help. We've got a really, really good pro bono lawyer on the team who is a retired Massachusetts justice. She's been helping us. We probably are going to submit by the end of this year 7 different amicus briefs before higher courts on this subject. And we are also continuing to, we've refiled our case in California, right, for violating the rights of the women in prison. So it's a lot of work. And, of course, I weigh in, you know, we do a lot of commenting and public comment on policies that are being put forward by the states, right, and legislation. So we do a lot of legislative advocacy. And we do some public education forums as well. We're doing a women's upraising in Philadelphia next weekend to talk about violence against women and how it's being used to coerce up and just, you know, make women pretty much go the way of the Taliban, right, at this point. I mean, it feels like sometimes when you're in this work that the end game here is Talibanism, that women will not be allowed to speak, will not be allowed to do, you know, there's a whole repeal of the 19th movement at the moment going. So there's a lot of work to do out there. But, you know, and we work really, really hard, as you know, Aaron, for a small team, and we cover a lot of terrain, but we need a lot more of us, right? And it hurts that the other big national feminist orgs are not on the team.
No.
Planned Parenthood is the biggest distributor of puberty blockers and hormones in the United States
right
now.
Who is?
Planned Parenthood.
Oh, of course.
Yeah.
Of course, because it's healthcare, right?
Yes. So that, you know, if you're a kid that needs to get those puberty blockers, Planned Parenthood's your best friend. And so they're not on the team. And like I told you, National Organization for Women's not on the team. Even Amnesty International's not on the team.
You got to wonder if some of these guys are just going to get the pants sued off them at some point.
So that is happening, too. That is happening. Some of the doctors are being sued. And, in fact, the American Academy of Pediatrics is being sued by a woman that we platformed who is a detransitioning female. She is suing her doctor and the American Academy of Pediatrics because they amputated her breast, gave her a mastectomy at, like, 17, and put her on the drugs. And, you know, I don't know if you remember what you were like at 17, but you're a whole different person by the time you're 30. You know, like things that you thought were whatever they were at 17, 18, you have a whole different head by the time you're about 25.
Oh, yeah.
You know, so we should not really be letting, I mean, yeah, I hear you on the getting your ears pierced, right? But you can always let those close up. Your breasts are not going to grow back.
Especially when my dad got busted for not knowing any gypsies.
I know, but when we do these altering surgeries on kids, they're not going to, I mean, if you cut your breasts out,
that's a one-way trip.
Yeah.
It's not going to grow back. But 17-year-olds often don't understand things, or 14-year-olds don't understand things like that, right? They just don't.
Well, so, it doesn't make sense to me. I mean, parents went through the same thing their kids are going through, only now it's okay for the parent to, that same person to go, oh, when I was your age, I felt the same way. So, well, let's do it different.
Well, they want to. It's become a social contagion too. There's an element of you know, quote, popularity, I think, in the parent ranks.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I have a special file.
Yeah. Yep. I've got a trans child too, and so yeah. Rather than help your kid cope with the world, let's create an alternate identity, because that would have worked for all of us. It would have been a crisis. So we're headed into the last 1 minute, and we found the song I wanted to play, because we got to play it when we're on with you. So we've got to add that, and we don't want to cut you off at the pass there. So our guest has been Sharon Byrne. We have forced her to be our hostage for the entire show, and we will do it again in the future.
Yes. Sharon, thank you for coming on.
Thanks a million. And you can find the archive of the show. Please send it to people so they can begin talking about it. It's at wethepeopleradio.us.
I would be happy to do that. And thank you so much for having me on.
Absolutely.